take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke as we continue in our lessons from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. We'll be reading at verse 5 and then immediately go down to verse 11. If you use the box of envelopes week by week in giving your offering, then you know that you only have 12 envelopes left for 2013. May I say this, and may I encourage you to finish the year well. Be here as often as possible. Invite someone to come with you. If needful, go by and pick them up and bring them. And let's finish 2013 well. Let's stand together, if you would, the book of Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. May I say this, if the seed is in the bag, it is of no use. It's only when the seed is thrown that it becomes of use. Verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Someone has well said, why should anybody hear the sermon of God twice before everyone has heard it once? Folks, there are billions of people in our world that have never heard, and God has brought many of them to the United States of America. And the problem is that we have become so focused on ourselves that we have forgotten that there are many who need to hear the Word of God. Continuing verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But, you know, that word can mean something negative, but I love it when it means something positive. But, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this morning's sermon. May it encourage us, Lord, to sow the seed, to be a light lit for you. And may our faith never be questioned. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. A sower went out to sow his seed. May I encourage you to remember that someone sowed the seed so that you could hear. Someone may have gone out of their way to come and invite you to come to the house of God. May I suggest that you give someone the same privilege of hearing. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The only way there can be an increase is if the seed is planted and another waters and God gives the increase. We find in the book of John chapter 4, verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. But both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. We need to plant the seed. We find in verse 11, the seed is the word of God. May I say it, it's an important seed. And it must be planted. There were a number of hearers. There was the wayside here. And when he heard, the devil immediately comes and lest they be saved, he distracts them and he takes away the need of salvation. There is the rocky ground here. They have no root system, and in time of temptation, they fall away. And may I say this, we have seen this on many occasions, that someone gets excited about the church, they get excited about the Lord, they get excited about the songs, and they get excited about the message, but then something comes along in a time of temptation, they fall away. There are the thorny ground hearers. And they, for a while, listen, and for a while are interested, but then, because of the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, they bear no fruit. And then, of course, there is the good ground. And they are those who have honest and good hearts. They keep what is taught. They love the Word of God and they hold it dear. As you may or may not know, yesterday about 400 men gathered up at the Faith Baptist Church of Davison, and at that time we heard a number of lessons and sermons, and it was a blessing for all that were there. And then the service was about to end when the pastor of the church, Brother Lewis, called for one of the men to come and to end the service, the day's events, in prayer. But before he had the man pray, he talked about the fact that this was one of his deacons there at the church, and how he loved him and how he cared for him, and how that without men like him, the work cannot go on. May I say this, we need good men and good women at the Covenant Baptist Church. We need people who care and want to be here. And they don't let things keep them from coming. They're involved in the Lord's work. They have an honest and a good heart. They've heard the word and they keep it. And they bring forth fruit with patience. We miss my mother here. It's not your mother, my mother. Some may even call her, though, Mother Madonna. And it's hard not seeing her here, but through the years she has been the good ground hearer. She has heard the word, and with an honest and a good heart, she has served. You know, I hope that all of us would have such a reputation of having a good heart, an honest heart, one that has read the word, and one that has heard the word, and one that keeps the word, bringing forth fruit with patience. But moving along, verse 16, no man, when he hath lighted a candle. Now, let's be honest about it. Most of us don't light candles today for light. Most of us, unless the electricity has gone off, most of us light candles only as decoration or for a mood. Or if there's a bad odor in your house, you try to light a candle hoping it would help remove that odor. But in biblical days, candle were good for light. Notice it says, no man when he hath lighted a candle cover it with a vessel, or putteth under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Now there weren't too many of us alive back in World War II, but we have read and heard how that Germany had begun to bomb London. Germany had pretty much had its way running through Europe and knocking over one country after another, and now England was just across the Gulf there, or the channel. Little did Hitler know that he could have invaded England in a land attack and probably just would have walked in. They were not really prepared for war. And we know that they began to bomb London, and London began to say, hey, when we know they're coming, we're going to turn off all the lights. We're going to black out the city of London. And from things that I have read, they talked about the German fighters and the bombers would come in, and they would see the city, and all of a sudden it was gone. He was gone. All the lights were off. Can you imagine a huge metroplex suddenly turning off all their lights? You could not even smoke a cigarette because one little light would direct the German fighters and bombers as they came in. But on the other hand, folks, we as Christians, we should not be hiding our light. Our light should be shining brightly. But you know what's happened? Our churches shine their lights in the church. But when we leave the church, we turn them off. And that's not good. An unlit candle is nothing but decoration. An unlit candle, and maybe you have candles in your house where you have a nice candle stand and you have a candle sitting on there and you've never lit the candle because it looks nice. It's a decoration. But according to Revelation 1, a church is compared to a candle stand. There were seven churches that received letters. And each one was compared to a candlestand in which Christ was standing in the midst. And in Revelation 2, the Lord warned the church at Ephesus that if they did not repent, he would come and remove their candlestand. That he would come and remove their candlestand, in essence, making them what? Useless. You say, well, what are you talking about? They'd still be a church. No, they'd be useless. A church that does not have its light shining is useless. It's of no value. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew records the words of Jesus when he said, "Ye are the light of the world." Would you say that the Covenant Baptist Church should shine its light? That it should be a bright light shining for the cause of Christ? You, me, we need to let our light shine for Christ. Lest the Lord come and remove our candlestand and make us useless. We must remember that the church is not a cruise ship, but a lifeboat. We are not here to entertain people, but we are to preach the gospel. Each individual Christian is not to be a decoration, but a burning light. Jesus said, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, cover it with a vessel." We need to have our light shining brightly, proudly. But then we come to the question, a vital question, where is your faith? Where is your faith? In talking about London and the Blitz and the bombings as the German Air Force came in daily at times. Weekly, and people went down into the subways and to hide, and they went to different places. There were those who asked the question, why are we putting up with this? Why don't we surrender? Did they surrender? They did not. And aren't you glad they didn't surrender? They gave America long enough to get its head screwed on straight, to get involved in the war so that we could go and help. And we could beat the Nazi forces. They didn't give up. May I say this? Many Christians are quitting along the way today. They're quitting. They say, why do we bother? Abortion still is legal. The homosexual movement is growing. We're seeing evolution promoted, even though there is so many proofs that it is a lousy theory. Money has become all important. Entertainment runs and rules. Sports I guarantee you there are more people interested today about the Detroit Lions and if they're going to beat Green Bay than they are interested in the Word of God. What has happened? Where is our faith? It's interesting, someone has well said, we have faith enough to be saved, but not faith enough to serve the Lord faithfully. Let's begin reading at verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. When he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? That's a vital question. I ask the question of all of us today, where is your faith? It says, on a certain day. Have you ever had one of those days? You know, when someone says, I had one of those days, you don't wonder what they're meaning. It's one of those days when you got up in the morning and you couldn't do a thing with your hair. It was one of those days and you poured the milk into the cereal and you didn't realize the milk was spoiled. Oh, that's not a good thing. You go outside and you get in your car, and as you're driving out of your subdivision, you realize that you need gas. And you get to the gas station, and the price of gas went up 20 cents since yesterday. It's one of those days you get to work, and the boss had one of those days. Yeah. You know, we've had one of those days, right? You know, it just, things don't work. For some of you, you had one of those weeks or months, or maybe you had one of those years. Yeah. Job 1:13 says, and there was a day. And we know about Job's day in which he lost his oxen and his cattle and his camels and his kids. It was one of those days. But you know, one of those days can be an ordinary day. Build an ark to the saving of your family. Excuse me, Lord? Build an ark. Well, why, Lord? Because it's going to rain. What's rain, Lord? Build an ark. It's one of those days. Being tempted by the boss's wife. Joseph was a young, busy, positive, successful young man. And we find that Mrs. Potiphar said, come lie with me. It's one of those days. Was it just one day that she tempted him? No, day by day. We find it's one of those days where we might have to go fight a giant. I guarantee you, when David left the sheep in the wilderness to take the cheese and the supplies to his brothers who were at war, he didn't think when he left he was going to be fighting a giant. But folks, there are giants coming in our lives, and we had better be ready to fight. We had better be ready. How about bow down and worship the image? You know, I guarantee you that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not the only Jews that were there, but others were willing to bow down, saying, well, nobody will notice. Do you think God would notice? It's one of those days. Then there was the decree, you can't ask anything of anybody except for the king. And yet Daniel went and he opened his windows and prayed. And you know, the accusers of Daniel went believing he was going to pray. They'd have been disappointed if he hadn't. Folks, people ought to know of your faith. They ought to know. How about the one, go to Nineveh? Well, go where, Lord? Go to Nineveh. Go and preach. Folks, these things can come into our lives and we must be ready. Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over unto the other side. Verse 22. You know, sometimes the Lord asks us to leave our comfort zone. Do you realize that every Sunday morning when I get up here behind this pulpit, I am not in my comfort zone? That this is not the comfort zone for Paul Madonna. I am not a gifted speaker. Please, no amens on that. I am not a gifted speaker. My brother-in-law, Keith, is a far better speaker than me. I'm just amazed sometimes with what he can come up with in a short period of time. And I have said to him, Keith, you should have been the Baptist preacher. You know what he does? He just smiles at me. He just smiles. Some people are gifted speakers. And sometimes some of us who are not, we're put into an area that we're not comfortable. And sometimes we just have to do what we believe the Lord wants of us. Come out of our comfort zone. And they launched forth. Do you think that all 12 of them plus Jesus helped launch the boat? Do you think all of them did? I don't think so. Matthew was what? He had been a tax collector. Do you think he knew anything about getting a boat off away from the dock? Have you ever been doing something? You went for a work day, you had no idea what you were doing, but you just volunteered, and before you knew it, you thought to yourself, I don't belong here at all. And everybody's looking at you because you've never hammered a nail into a roof ever. And the only nail you're used to hitting with a hammer is the wrong nail. But I guarantee you, my opinion is this, that there were only probably four or five that pushed the boat out into the sea. But thank God all of them got into the boat. They all got in. Thank God for the workers. Thank God for those who are willing to do something. Thank God. But as they sailed, a storm. The Sea of Galilee was well known for its sudden storms. The Bible says here, but he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind. Apparently, because of how the land is around the Sea of Galilee, it just apparently is just right to have storms come in out of the, if I remember correctly, the northeast. And the storms would come in very quickly and very rapidly. And when they did, you didn't want to be out on the Sea of Galilee, even though it's not that big a body of water. May I say this, storms are going to come in our life. My dad's going through a storm right now. I mean, anyone that's been married to someone for 61 years and they see their mate going through what my mother's going through right now, it'll break your heart. And the storms come, and some of you have gone through these type of storms. Some of you are going through storms right now. And the storms of life come. Note what it says there. And they were filled with water. Now, what does that mean? And they were filled with water. Does that mean they had a lot of water to drink? What was filled with water? The boat. As we heard yesterday in one of the sessions, it's good for the boat to be in the water, but it's not good to have the water in the boat. Number of years ago, Don and I went whitewater rafting, and we had a self-bailing raft, which meant there were holes along certain parts of it, and I don't know how the raft stayed up, but the water didn't come in. And while other people were bailing, we just went right on our way. We didn't have to bail. That was good. You don't want the water in the boat. Folks, we don't want the world in the church. even though we go out and invite the world to come in the church. Now you say, what are you saying? We're inviting sinners to come in so that the Lord can clean them. We need to be a light. We need to be planting the seed. We are not to conform to this world. We're not to act like the world. We are to be different. May I say this? There are programs on television. As Christians, we don't have any reason to watch. There are things that we shouldn't say. Things that we shouldn't take into our bodies. Certain things we shouldn't be doing. We are not to be conformed to this world. But they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And we're not talking about the television program. They were in jeopardy. They feared for their life. They panicked. They screamed like little girls. The other day I opened the shed that's over here between the buildings where we keep our tractor, which we use to cut the grass. And because it has a tire that I have to fill with air every week, I pulled the little lever on the back of the tractor and I pulled the tractor out a little ways, and I suddenly realized I was not alone in that shed. And I did not mind that he had black fur. I minded he had white on his black fur. And I ran away from that shed screaming like a little girl. I came inside to find Pastor Stephen. There hasn't been anything I've asked Pastor Stephen to do that he hasn't done, and I was going to send him out to get the tractor. But he was gone. And so you know what I did? I went to lunch. I went to lunch, and I figured if that skunk was bright, he would leave also. And you know what? He did. Smart skunk. And we made sure he couldn't get back in there again. But may I say this? How many people don't realize that the world is just like that skunk? And instead of running from sin and running away from temptation, they get right on in there and they get sprayed by the world and they stink just like the world. And we find that we have lost our ability to shine for Christ. May I say this morning, where is your faith? Are we covered with the stench of the world? Or do when people see us and they observe us, they realize there's something different about that person? They've come to know the Lord as Savior. They believe and act on their beliefs in a positive way. Shall we stand together? How do you smell today? How do you look today? Do we act and look and smell like the world, or do we act and look and smell like a believer does? Maybe this morning you need to realize you need to come and pray and say, Lord, I need to be a better witness. I need to be a better testimony. We'll give you that opportunity to do that today. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Boy, we'd love to have someone be able to show you from the Word of God what you must do to be a believer. We'd be more than happy to have someone do that this morning. Where's your faith? In what are you trusting? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask as we sing this song of invitation, may the Spirit move, may hearts be tender, and Lord, may we see souls saved and hearts made right this day. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.